If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to Philippians 4. We're in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9 this morning. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, I believe it's page 982. So we come now to one of the probably most favorite Bible passages of believers in Christ. If not a favorite, it's probably a top five. I know this is my wife's favorite passage. It's a reference you'll see on tattoos, the coffee mugs, the bumper stickers, and so forth. And if it's a new text to you or you're not familiar with it, please pay particular attention to it this morning. If you have your own scriptures, it might be good to highlight it, to underline it, definitely memorize it, meditate upon it, and practice what it says. You want to be familiar with this text because what it offers you as a follower of Christ. This morning it's offering you the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The peace of God that guards our hearts and minds in a world that's filled with troubles, trials, and tribulations. This text offers you a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a passage with great practicality against the anxiousness of our hearts. And if you practice it, the promise is the peace of God will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. As Jesus said to the disciples, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Let me pray, we'll read through the text and we'll walk through it this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and that you would give us hearts and minds to understand what you're saying, hearts and minds to believe what you're saying, and hearts and minds that want to practice what you're saying. Lord, we need to hear you, the Good Shepherd, to speak to our anxious hearts, our anxious souls. Lord, help us to have this peace. Lord, stir in us anew the peace that Christ gives, not only in his work of atonement, but in our everyday lives as we go through trials, troubles, and tribulations. Lord Jesus, that you give us a peace that the world can't take away. So Lord, I pray you speak to each soul, each heart here that has its own anxieties and their own circumstances, and you would help us to believe, see, and understand these things. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 4, 4 through 9 this morning. Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. We'll stop there this morning. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says this morning. Anxiety. The idea of being overly concerned about something, to be overly worried about something, to be cumbered with many cares. Now you're going to go through life and you're going to care about things. You're going to have a certain amount of worry and concern just because you care. We're not called to be stoics in life. But anxiety is the idea that you have such concern, such worry over a matter that it controls you, that it robs you of the peace and joy that God can give. That rather than allowing God to control you and trusting him, you're being controlled and dominated by the anxiety and fear. Paul says to the Philippians, and he says to you, he says, do not be anxious about anything. Now remember, he's sitting in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard waiting to find out, will he be released or gruesomely executed? And he says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. Paul, who's writing to a church who's in a culture where to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Him alone can get you arrested, can get you thrown in jail or killed. He's writing to a church that would be hard at times to find a job if you hold to this idea that Jesus Christ is Lord and Him alone. You could be arrested. And he writes to them in this society and says, do not be anxious for anything. Anxiety, we wrestle with it for sure. Whether it's because we might face persecution if we share our faith with family, friends, or coworkers, or neighbors, or just because of the things that we're dealing with in life. Anxiety can arise from issues of health, from finances, to dealing with people just in our neighborhood. It comes to men, it comes to women, it comes to mom, it comes to dad, it comes to children, it comes to us who are of older age. And right now you know exactly what causes you emotional stress and anxiety. And as believers in Christ Jesus, God has given you Himself and has given you His Word that you may have peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. That will guard your heart. If we practice these things. If we practice these things. So what does he say? How do we guard our heart and our minds with the peace of God in moments of anxiety? We see first point one, it says it's just rejoicing in the Lord. Paul says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I would say rejoice. Here he says it twice for emphasis, and he says it one other time in chapter 3 where he says, finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. What does that mean? Is it just what we're doing here this morning, just singing some songs on Sunday morning and just trying to get through the rest of our week? What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? John Piper, I think, says it well. He says, the idea of rejoicing in the Lord is to concentrate our minds deliberately on treasuring the Lord Jesus Christ. To concentrate our minds deliberately, not on everything else around us, not on the issue at hand. We can be concerned about it, think about it, but to concentrate deliberately on treasuring the sovereign and good Lord Jesus Christ. He says we need to focus our thought on His majesty, on His mercy, on His purity, and on His power. Concentrate deliberately on treasuring Christ. Timothy Keller, he says, rejoicing in the Bible is much deeper than simply being happy. Paul directed that we should rejoice in the Lord always. This cannot mean always feel happy, he says. No one can command someone to say always have a particular emotion. But to rejoice is to treasure a thing, to assess its value to you, to reflect on it, on its beauty and its importance, until your heart rests in it and tastes the sweetness of it. Rejoicing is a way of praising God until the heart is sweetened and rested, until it relaxes its grip on anything else that it thinks it needs. You're just consumed and content in Christ, who He is, His sovereignty, and His goodness. The heart of a believer in Christ is not to be dominated by anxiety and worry, but dominated with a joy that treasures the Lord. You who know Christ, who have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, you understand the great work of the cross that He went to. And we need to keep thinking and reminding ourselves that He's willing to do that till He'll get us through the moment at hand. We need to think on His majesty, think on His mercy, think on His power, think on His purity, think on His goodness, His providence in our lives. That's why David would write in Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. He's my Creator. He's my Redeemer. He's my King. I will boast in Him." It's a treasuring of Christ that leads to trust. When you grasp who Jesus is, that He's God in flesh, who entered our sufferings, understands our suffering, yet overcomes our sufferings, you'll begin to treasure and trust Him more. Your circumstances, your trials, your tribulations, your troubles will be seen in a different context. You'll understand that everything is coming your way is filtered through this King, through this Savior who loves you, through His providence. And His promise is to you that He's overcome this grave. His promise is to you that everything that enters through your life will work together somehow for good. Not meaning that everything is good, but God will allow what He hates to accomplish what He loves. And we can trust Christ, who's using all things for His purposes. That's why Job would say, after he's lost his family, he's lost his finances, he's lost his health, he's lost his house, he says, "Though he slay me, I'll hope in him. These other things are temporary, but the things of God are eternal." When you realize that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ and His good purposes, you can rejoice in the Lord always. Paul, as he's writing to the Romans, gives this great list of things that would terrify us, cause us to worry, cause us to have great anxiety. And he says, remember, the love of Christ, nothing can separate you. This holy sovereign one who's made you, who's redeemed you, who's ruling now, nothing can separate you from His love. He says, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Real realities that sometimes we have to walk through. He says, nothing can separate you from His love. He says, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Another translation, we overwhelmingly conquer. When we rejoice in the Lord, when we treasure Christ, when we trust Christ, when we walk through these hard moments, these trials, these troubles, these tribulations, whether it be loss of a job or distresses or persecutions, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. When you realize that nothing can separate you from Christ and His good purposes, you can rejoice. Can rejoice. Habakkuk, he talks about, he goes, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit bear on the vines, nor the produce of the olive fail in the fields, and there's no food, and there's no flock, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk 3:17-18. His greatest eternal treasure is Yahweh, is Christ. So when anxiety and worry start to creep in, rather than being dominated by the unknowns, Paul says, trust and treasure Christ, whom you know and you know He loves you. This Christ is King. This Christ is the resurrection and life. This Christ is the Good Shepherd. This Christ is the great I Am. And He says, I give you peace that the world can't take away. Rejoice in the Lord always. In those moments of anxiety, praise Christ, worship Christ, treasure Christ, who entered our sufferings, overcomes our sufferings, and will walk us through our sufferings to glory. The second thing we need to remember when anxiety comes is to remember that the Lord is near. He says in verse 5, Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The NIV translated, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. When we forget that the Lord is right here with us, when we forget that the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, when we forget that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, how do we typically respond? In those moments of high anxiety, worry, how do we respond? If you're like me, it's typically not gentle. It's definitely not reasonable. Like Joe Ionta says, we're out of control. We begin to think of the worst case scenario. We begin to think we need to have it all figured out. We need to control every situation, every detail, every scenario. And we begin to snap at others around us. We become restless. We can't sleep. We begin to show others and ourselves that it's I can't give it to God right now. And it's hard, and I understand these things. These are things I'm preaching to myself, right? We can become unreasonable in those times. And Paul is saying to us, and he's saying to you and me, the Lord is near. The Lord is right here, and he will take care. Even in the hardest tragedies, the things that just make you weep, you keep trusting the Lord. You keep trusting like Joseph in the Old Testament, where everything seemed against him. His family is just trying to do things right and be falsely accused, being thrown in prison. You just, okay, I'm giving it over to the Lord. He's right here. You're not alone. We're not alone, especially in moments of worry and concern. The Lord of the universe who created you is right here. Psalm 46:1, we know it, right? God is our refuge and strength, a very what? A very present help in trouble. He's right here. He's right here. Psalm 46:11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43:1-3, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, when it seems like the world is flooding you with a ton of cares, when you pass through waters of hard circumstances, I will be with you. They'll not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, when it seems like the world and concerns want to burn you up and devastate you, he says that he won't burn you. They will not consume you. I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I'm right here. Remember the peace, if you're familiar with church history at all, after the time of Christ, when they were persecuted for saying Christ is Lord, they would be crucified, lit on fire, fed to lions, and the world watched in astonishment as they went. Peace with peace. They were so content, so treasured in Christ, realizing there's more to this world, there's more going on, that Christ the King is sovereign, and I will just go to glory. Remember, the Lord is near. He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day with its own trouble. So we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to treasure the Lord. We need to remember that He's near. And then the third point, make our requests known to God. In verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Sit with Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Thank Jesus for who He is and how He's been faithful. Think about how He's been faithful to you up to this point. All those things that we worried about back here, whether it was finances, children, or health, or whatever it may be, and how he's gotten you through. Go to him in prayer. Make your request with thanksgiving. And trust him for the present. You know, many times when in the midst of anxiety and worry, we just don't even pray. And if we do, it's a quick word, right? It reminds me of a story in Luke 10 where Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha and welcomed Jesus into her house. And he had a sister called Mary. Many of you know this story. And Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But it says Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing's necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion." Just sitting at Jesus' feet, consuming his teaching, praying to him, asking him questions. Of all these other things that we get distracted and worried about, are we taking time to really pray? I mean, to really pray. To sit with him, to be thankful to him, to remember how he's blessed you in the past, to see how he's been faithful in the past so that you can trust him with your present circumstances. Ask, how is the prayer time, let alone the rejoicing and treasuring, let alone remembering that he's right here with us, how is the prayer time? Jesus, while he walked on earth, was troubled. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? He was troubled. He was sweating drops of blood. What did he do? Prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. "Whatever your will, Lord. Whatever your will." And he goes through the cross, everything that was coming, with a peace that surpassed all understanding, as he committed himself to the ways of his God. I love when he says in Psalm 55, "Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit you, the righteous, to be moved." 1 Peter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your anxieties." Sometimes we fish like this with the fishing pole. They did it with nets. It's the idea, you take those things and you just whip them at God. And you say, "Take these. I can't handle it anymore. You take these." And he will sustain you because he cares for you. Great passage, 1 Peter 5, 7. What anxieties and worries do you need to throw and cast and give over to the Lord this day? Give them to him. And the supernatural peace can be yours. In verse 7, rejoice in the Lord. Remember he's near. Cast him. And in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Peace of God. Peace, tranquility, harmony. I just think of the image when the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee and the storm rises up and they believe they're going to die. And Jesus just says, "Peace, be still." And it's calm. That's what we want to get to. That's what we want to realize in the midst of the concerns and again in the midst of the trial and the tribulation, that are real concerns, but not be dominated by them. But trust the God who's put us in the storm and who will walk us through the storm. When we rejoice in the Lord, when we remember that he's near, when we spend time with him in prayer, Moyer, he says, our lives will be touched with a mark of the supernatural, something that passes our understanding. And the meaning here is not something mysterious or incomprehensible in its own sight, but something which man cannot explain or explain away. Something that just runs beyond human comprehension. Peace that will guard our hearts and minds. Jesus says to you and his people, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful. And Paul says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. This can be yours. And be careful what you're thinking about, he says in verse 5. In point 5, whatever are you thinking on? Look at verse 8. He says, finally, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, you think about these things. As Isaiah said in 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, locked on you. John Piper says, get alone with God, preach his word into your mind until your heart sings. Get alone with God, preach the word to your mind until your heart sings. Steve Lawson says, in many battles, in many ways, the battle for the Christian life is the battle of the mind. And the victory in a battle is the experience of peace. Prayer and purity are the two keys to the life of peace. You will become and practice what fills your mind and thoughts. You'll become and practice what you feel in your mind and thoughts. Godly thoughts will produce godly living. Holy thinking will lead to holy living. Conversely, base thoughts will lead you to base living. So it's critical we guard our minds from impurity. We set our minds on the things of God. Just think about, what do you think about through the day? What are your thoughts fixed upon? Sometimes we'll try to give ourselves peace in all kinds of ungodly ways. We'll look for pleasures and think about all kinds of things. What will we fix our minds on? Sometimes we think of worst case scenarios, try to find some kind of pleasure in things that are impure and immoral. Sometimes we just think only think the bad thing will happen. It will never get better. And if you watch the evening national news, they'll give you every reason to panic. You watch the evening national news, you'll hear the music come on and the tone of the voice, and it seems like everything's falling apart. And yes, there are trials and troubles and tribulations in this world, but Lord Jesus is ruling over them all. They want you to panic. They want you to worry. We can worry about things, we can be concerned about things, but we don't get fixated and dominated by these things. He says whatever's honorable, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's just, whatever's excellent, whatever's worthy of praise, think about that. What if the evening news started off with that? What if the evening news talked about how the churches in this world do things that are amazing and loving on children, the homeless, women? Just think of all the great things that actually occur that the world doesn't talk about but wants to scare you. There's gospel graces flowing through our churches and the millions and millions of believers all over this world. Think about those things. That Christ has entered this world. He's overcome this world. He's advancing his kingdom. He's saving a people. And his people are being his heart and his hands and loving on each other, praying for each other. Those are good and true and wholesome things from God our Savior. Paul says, think on these things. Again, this is written to Philippians who are living in a Roman Empire with all kinds of horrific things to be concerned about. But God enters those situations and brings light, salvation, and healing. Think about what you think about. Whatever are you thinking on? Give true assessment on a day-to-day basis, on the week. Ask yourself, what am I fixated on? What am I thinking about? And Paul says, lastly, practice these things. He says in verse 9, what you've learned, what you've received, what you've heard, what you've seen, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Practice. You'll never be good. You'll never be great. You'll never excel if you never practice playing football, basketball, soccer, you name it, whatever sport. You'll never be great. You'll never be good. You'll never excel. What makes us think as believers in Christ that if we don't practice these things, that we'll be great at overcoming anxiety and fear? Yeah. He says, practice these things. Practice these things. You want to be great? You want to excel? You want to overcome? Practice these things. There'll be struggles at times. We'll have ups and downs. But if we practice these things, we won't give our enemy a foothold. We won't let that fear creep in. We'll have our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus with peace. Rejoice in the Lord. Treasure the Lord. Think about who He is, how He's been faithful and brought you to this point. Remember that He's right here. Remember that if He's willing to go to the cross, He'll take you through every and single situation you encounter. Pray. Sit at His feet and pray with thanksgiving. And be careful what you're thinking about. Be careful what you're thinking about. He says, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Do you know this Christ? He's a Savior who offers you peace with God, who goes to the cross to atone for your sin, to absorb the wrath of God, to give you righteousness. Do you know this Christ that gives you peace with God? Turn from your sins and trust Him today if you haven't. And it's the same Christ. He says, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. And the world can't take it away. He says, I'll walk you through. I'll shepherd you through every moment of your life and give you peace. We're going to sing shortly the last song, Be Still, My Soul. I was going to read it to you, but I implore you, pay attention to the words. May it be the true intent of your heart today and every day as we wrestle with anxiety and worry. We wrestle with it. There's a reason why over 300 times in the scripture God says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. He knows we're scared. But we need to know how great He is and practice these things. And the God of peace will be with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that You would still our souls and our minds in Christ Jesus, that they would be calm. Help us to understand You're with us. Help us to understand how You've been faithful thus far. Lord, help us to understand You're preparing for us a weight of glory that's beyond comprehension, that these things here, no matter what we go through, are temporary. Help us to remember to understand that all things that come our way are filtered through Your care, through Your providence and Your goodness. And for Your people who cry out to You, all things will work together for good somehow. Lord, give us a confidence in Christ. Lord, maybe we've been slacking in our prayer. Maybe we've been slacking in treasuring You. Maybe we've been having our minds fixed on the wrong things. And we wonder why we're just worked up. Help us to apply these things. Help us to practice these things. That people would know our gentleness. Lord, we give You praise. that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and that you offer us yourself to give us peace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.